present this morning. Today is 29. I'm sorry. 29 present. Today is February 17th, 2019, for taping purposes. If you would, at this time, let's mark our songbooks at number 687. 687 would be the song of invitation. And once you've marked that, let's turn to number 545. 545. Let's not forget, tonight is singing.
Yeah.
So everybody, please return, and those that wish, think of some songs you'd like to hear tonight, and we'll try to accommodate everybody. This world is not my home, I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me.
Good to have you all with us today. Good to have our young people with us today that realize these good songs we sang yesterday and before at our youth day time. We shall assemble on the mountain. We shall assemble at the throne with humble hearts into His presence. We bring an offering of song, glory and honor and dominion. Unto the Lamb, unto the King, oh hallelujah, hallelujah. We sing the song of the redeemed. Isn't it a good song? Good ways to go with. We shall assemble, and we assemble in a high place. Lord, make me your servant, make me like you. For you are a servant, make me one too. Make me a servant, make me like you. For you are a servant, make me one too. What a wonderful song is set forth for our young people in times with that idea about the uniqueness of our lives. we are unique in the ways in which we go about our service of God if we serve Him. And notice that He was first a servant. As we look at the uniqueness of God, we look at the ideals that we find in the Bible that tells us about how unique He really is. Back in the book of Isaiah chapter 40, questions are raised there in the midst of that chapter in regard to this idea. It is questioned of God, who has been your counselor? Who has been your instructor? And the answer comes back, He needs not an instructor. He needs not a counselor. He is the guide and counselor for others. The concluding thought of Isaiah 40 at verse 31 is the idea, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. That word wait is an important word. There are five definitions for the word wait in our English. You can have a waiter at a particular restaurant. You place your order with that waiter, and he waits upon you in the sense of bringing you the desired items that you have requested. There's a waiting that you do for the school bus that comes by. You step up and you wait for that bus to arrive and stop and open the door, and then you enter into the school bus. There's a waiting that you do in that regard. We wait in the sense of an illness that we have. We take medication and we sometimes just have to wait it out. We just have to wait that illness to go through and go out and everything. And so we're unique in that particular way. But here is another meaning for the word wait. It is the idea of serving. It's the Hebrew word kaveh. And it's the word that is used there in reference to serving the Lord and working with Him. And as a result, He goes with us. And isn't that what Jesus said? I'll be with you every day to the end of the world. He told His disciples there in Matthew chapter 28 and at verse 20. You go and you teach all nations. You baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit by their authority. And you teach them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. The idea of the age in which they live, the age of time in which we live, He is with us every day. That means that when you and I go knock at a door and visit in the name of Jesus Christ, we're not alone. When we preach a sermon in the pulpit of this particular church or anywhere else, we're not doing it alone. We do preparations for it. We try to do it in correct wording and everything. There are sometimes that there are things that happen in the audience that gets our attention and robs our mind of the next thought in mind to come out of our voice at that time. But we try to restrain that and hold that back and have that to be coming another time. But nevertheless, it is the idea that we do our best to do, but far from my words or the words that compel people to obey the gospel. It is the Lord Himself who is guiding His word. He is with me today. And as a result of this message that we're proclaiming to you, it's a message about a unique God who has a new unique way in which He does things in life. And He is not instructed. He's not a counselor waiting for information to come to Him and comfort to come to Him. He is the one who has presented to us that if we wait upon Him, if we serve with Him, we will do what? We will renew our strength. We will mount up with wings like eagles. We will run and not grow weary. We will walk and not faint. The idea here is that we are progressing as we go through life. And as we progress with Him, we are progressing successfully with Him. That's the unique thing about God in our daily walk of life. We'll never stay the same when we began with the Lord. When we began with the Lord to speak differently, we are speaking differently now in a better way, in a more wholesome way than we ever have before, because we have grown in our speech patterns and speech ways of choices. When we go out to serve and we go out to do good for people in times of need, we're doing it in a sense of doing it with the Lord. We do not do it for a pat on the back. We do not do it for someone's favor to us. We do not do it in that way and find ourselves disappointed that we've not had a praise, not disappointed that we've not had a pat on the back. Disappointed, so we just don't do that anymore. We stop going to that house. We stop doing that deed for those individuals. When we go with the Lord, we go with Him with strength, and we renew that strength as we go about that service. And as a result, our words are better now than they used to be. Our service is better now than it used to be. Our activities of life are better now than they used to be. We're smarter in the ways that we do things. We find ourselves improving, and we find ourselves with troubles and difficulties, overcoming those troubles and difficulties with God's help, because it's with God that we've gone into that trouble, and we begin to analyze, why was I there when those words were said? Why was I there when those deeds were done? Why was I there when those particular activities were practiced in people's lives? Why was I there? And the question comes up to us, and we have a suitable answer to it. We have an answer that I was weak in that regard. I had some of my peers that had a peer pressure upon me, and I yielded to them, and therefore I got in that vehicle. I went to that place, and that drink was served, and those things were done, and then that's why I was a part of that. Maybe I need to change, and I will change for the Lord's sake. I will make a change in regard to when I go with that person, what I do with that person. And as a result, I'll be uniquely different. And Peter says in 1 Peter 4, verse 4, the following about this. He says, they'll think it strange of you that you do not continue to run with them to the excesses of riot that you've been with them. Those old friends that invited you to come and go, and they had the peer pressure upon you to do this, that, and the other, whether you're young or older, that came to be the case. Here we are, an opportunity to make a change in that. How do we go about that change? We decide that that individual is not making a better choice for me. I can be different. And what will they do? Will they just take it in stride and say, well, he or she just didn't wish to go tonight, or maybe wish to be with us tonight? That's what it is. Oh, no. They will say something about it. Peter says they will say, you're odd. You're strange. You don't do the things you used to do. What made a difference in you? Someone may ask. And you'll be able to note the fact that I read His Word, and I want to go with God now. I want to be His person. I want to be His servant. There's something different about me. It's not due to me. It's due to that will that He has in mind that I've come to accept. Why do we go about preparing for people to obey the gospel from week to week? Every other day we turn the baptistry heater on. It does not boil out the water. It takes it up to a temperature of 75 degrees or thereabouts. And it stops. It holds that temperature till it's turned off. It's turned off, and it lasts there in the fiberglass baptistry about a day and a half. Depending on the extreme cold outside, it lasts a day and a half. In summertime, it'll last two full days. So we can have it comfortable for someone being baptized into Christ. This morning, it is ready, prepared. It'll be prepared for this afternoon, and tomorrow morning it'll be prepared. It's ready. And we want to, Lord of heaven, to bless the opportunity for people who decide to obey the gospel, to be able to obey the gospel with relative peace and ease. It's a difference when you are in a cold ways of life. Some of us baptized in ponds in days gone by. And we remember how the shocking of the water was in the pond, especially if it was in the fall of the year, early winter of the year, and deep winter of the year. That was a situation where it was a lot to it. But We think about you. We think about the ideas of helping people to obey the gospel and becoming faithful servants to God. Is that unique? I think it is. I really do think it is. Because who else considers that? Who else thinks about that? But a unique individual who's thinking about how we can be blessed and enjoy a memory of a day in which we became one with the Lord. Yes, the God of heaven is unique in this sense. He doesn't need a counselor. He doesn't need instruction. But if we wait with Him, co-join our lives with Him, and He goes with us in our decision making and what we do, we will become the unique people in doing that, and we will improve it all through our daily walk of life. We'll grow in the Lord. I wonder if that's what Jesus meant when He gave the 5 talents and the 2 talents and the 1 talent. The man with 5 talents went out and gained 5 others. The man with 2 talents did the same. The man with 1 talent said, "I knew you were a hard man. I knew you could reap where you didn't sow. And that's the circumstance by which I digged in the ground. And I hid this talent you gave to me. And here it is." Now there's some credit to some people think about that. He didn't lose it. He didn't spend it foolishly or use it foolishly. But it was not to gain. The Lord intended that as we wait upon Him, we renew our strength. Isaiah had said there in Isaiah 40, 31. If we renew our strength then, it means that we're getting a little stronger, a little better, a little better, a little better. And when we meet Him at the judgment day, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Lord, make me a servant. Make me like you, for you are a servant. Make me one too. Is that not what Jesus said about it? Is that not what He planned for us? Grow into service. Service is not something that just happens to us. It's not something that we just, "Well, my mom and dad were good servants, and I'll be." It's service with the Lord. We intertwine our lives and wait upon Him. There's another way in which the English word "wait" is used. I mentioned 5. And that is a way of waiting in the sense of waiting for something to happen. Waiting for changes to take place. What's unique about waiting for things to take place? You know, a clock is correct on its time wherever it stopped. Twice each day. Doesn't move, doesn't do anything at all for the reader of that timepiece. But that clock is correct in its time twice a day. Once in the daylight time, once in the night time, it is correct. Yet it has not rendered any kind of effort to help us out when we need it during the course of a day. Some people wait in the sense of stopped altogether. Not like waiting for a bus and stopping and getting on it. Not like waiting in regard to the illness that we want to get through with the medication we're taking. Stopping and just wait. See if things will change. If we go with God, we renew our strength. It's a positive thing. This is the God of heaven who is unique in His ways. I hope this lesson has been a blessing to every one of us today, because every one of us tends to tire with the things being done. we tend to tire as we travel, and we tend to tire as we go through circumstances in life. And as we tire in preparation for various things, we're unlike the man who's described in Psalm 1, who is described there as one who fears the Lord and one who enjoys the presence of the Lord and meditates upon His law day and night. We find ourselves enjoying that reading of God's Word when we with God wait upon Him. We improve our knowledge. We improve our way of understanding when we read with Him. Where is He now? He's right here. He's in our presence. The idea of where two or three are gathered together, Jesus, our Lord, said, "I'll be there in the midst of you all." When you think about Him today, you'll grow, and I will grow. And we'll be the kind of people at the judgment scene who waited upon Him and renewed our strength. What a blessing it is. Thank you for your listening and study with us today. As this song tells us, we begin it with just a step. Would you come to Jesus as we stand and as we sing today? Tonight to come back and be a part of the singing time at 6 o'clock and the potluck time when we finish up our song. There will be good time occasionally. It's always a good singing because people come to singing want to sing. And as a result of that, it always is a blend and a good blessing to be with us. We look forward to seeing you tonight. God bless you.
Sacrifice that He gave, and I pray upon my brother. shining light that goes about us in